Psalms there are total? 150. And my goal was to try to make it in 2 weeks. But even with my machine gun explanations, I really just want to try to give you a thought from every psalm. And sometimes the thoughts are very repetitive. Like I say, God knows how thick our skulls are and how much he needs to pour in his truth so that when we hear the same idea 8 or 10 or 20 times, the question is, has it sunken in yet? That's what the question is. But for sure, there are psalms that seem pretty depressing. But there are always glimmers of light. And some psalms are just filled totally with praise and glory. And we just sang that hymn. Even Mrs. Schaefer didn't know that it was just a marvelous introduction to the book of Psalms. So I have to remember that. But opening the psalm, we made it up through 41. Did you have any thoughts that maybe you took some time to read through some of those psalms this week and you want to share a blessing? Or maybe the book of Psalms, one of the verses I touched on last week, stirred your heart in a wonderful way? Anybody want to share? Linda? Amen. Fantastic. So there are so many topics covered, and sometimes the Holy Spirit just needs to let you latch on to one or two, especially when we go through challenges. God does not say our life of a Christian should be an easy one. There are many challenges, just like other people. But does it make you appreciate the fact that you have a God who hears and answers and will guide you through? Many of David's psalms, and we've hit a whole bunch of his in that first book, didn't we? I think it was like from Psalm 3 all the way to Psalm 41. Almost every single one of those were psalms of David. Well, that's one of the reasons why I think the book of Psalms is divided into 5 sections, which are actually called books in themselves. And we're starting the second section, which is called Book 2. And as we go through, you'll find that there are a number of different authors in Book 2. One of the most prominent ones is Asaph. But David still has some of the Psalms in this section as well. And Solomon has at least one. But I tried to get our thoughts directed to what is the overall theme of this second section. And even though the topics and the subject matter is very different, I thought it's just a reminder that God will always adequately supply. And it proves that we need to be giving him the glory and him the praise. So as we go through these psalms, again, in very rapid session, we'll stop along the way and read some portions of some of them. I believe the Holy Spirit wants me just to give you a moment of breath between the psalm, but I do try to pick out one part of a verse that is an encouragement. So I'd like the Lord's help once again, even though Pastor has prayed. that he will direct my thoughts and let it meet needs that you have in your life. Heavenly Father, the whole purpose of us being able to read and study Scripture is so that it can remind us that you're such a wonderful God. And will you give us the examples of these people who've written these Psalms? And the Hebrew nation uses them as their hymn book. And what a blessing it must have been for them to rejoice in the Psalms that are supposed to cause rejoicing. But there's a lot of things that the Word of God instructs us to do. Just remind us that when we are doing the things that your Word says to do, that there will be greater blessing in this life, yet alone blessing in eternity when we're with you. And I'm glad that we can know for sure that the Lord Jesus is our Savior. And we look forward to now getting spiritual nourishment as we go through these Psalms. In Jesus' wonderful name, I thank you. Amen. So let's take a look at Psalm 42. The main thought I wrote down is it's a description of our internal battle. Did Paul give us any instruction in the New Testament about the internal battle? Didn't he say he had to die to the flesh? That was a battle. Often he was fighting with his flesh. Now, how much proof is there that Paul had a lot of victory? Would you have gone to prison? Would you have wanted to be stoned and then God raised him from stoning? Talks about shipwrecks and things. What he suffered for the Lord? I have not had anything similar to that in my life. But we still serve the same God and the God of comfort. So the verse 11 will help us with this struggle. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the help of mine countenance. 42:11. Didn't I say 42? Okay. Psalm 43. I didn't write a verse, but once again, there's a lot of the internal struggle described there. So, on to 44. I think this is a good description of how God permitted the Israelites to take Canaan. He did promise the land of Canaan to whom? Who was the one individual he promised it to? Was Abraham. Abraham was promised Canaan. Isn't that the whole reason that he left his home and traveled there following God? So God promised the land to Abraham, who in essence promised it to the whole land of Israel. And thankfully, four or so decades ago, the world leaders decided Israel needed to have their place back. And Israel once again became a nation. But you read through the Psalm and you find out how God has protected the nation of Israel. And it is important. We are supposed to aid Israel. And the scripture says any nation who aids Israel, who's going to be on their side? The Lord. So, and very thankful our nation has been a friend to Israel. Now, Psalm 45. The author is praising the king and expresses glory in his prosperity, his fortune. But it's all due to obedience to God. He gives God the glory for it. That's a good reminder for us. Do we have a king in our country? No. But we do have a leader, president. And does it say only honor the kings that are good? No. We still have to respect that position. Doesn't matter if we agree or not. And it's not unusual that we've just decided that or in the process of deciding that. We need to honor our president. We need to pray for our leaders. Those are the ones, instead of using the term kings, they're the ones that are in authority for our country. So let's fulfill that responsibility. Psalms 46 through 48 are all kind of, I clumped together in one little ditty. It instills a confidence that everyone should have in the God of creation. Look at, if you would like to look at a specific verse, 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, how many times have I said something similar to that with these Psalms? Over and over. So maybe by the 30th or 40th time, it'll finally sink in? Well, it's if we let it, it will happen. I'd like to look at Psalm 49 and read it completely. I think I want to read it completely. No, not all of it. Let's just read a portion of Psalm 49. But it focuses on an eternal perspective. Who is the only one that was in eternity past? God. Who is the only one in eternity in the future? God and all Christians. Yay! God lets us join him there. But starting in verse 1. Hear this, all ye people, give ear. All ye inhabitants of the... It doesn't just say Israel there, does it? So this message is for us too. All the inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is precious, and it ceaseth forever. And we'll stop there. Can we do anything to save someone else and get them to heaven? Not one thing. There's only one person that all of us have had to seek for our redemption, for our salvation. And that's knowing what the Lord Jesus did. And isn't it a difficult thing to know for sure you're going to heaven? What about, is it, Mark? Is it very difficult to know for sure you can go to heaven? Not if you read the scripture. As I have taught many children over the year, scripture says to do two things. Confess with thy mouth, believe in thine heart. Confess what? Our sin. Believe what? Jesus' death paid the price for my sin. And what does God promise us? Salvation. It doesn't take doing good things. It takes confessing and believing. And then why should we want to live a pleasing life to our God? For thanksgiving and praise and to be a witness to others. That's not very hard. But that opened the opportunity to remind us of where we get our salvation from. And it's nothing we can do, and we can't do it for somebody else. It's a personal choice. So that was a little bit longer pause than I wanted. Moving on to Psalm 50. Here it talks about the mighty Creator and that God will judge the wicked, but he'll also reward the righteous. Verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge of himself. You say, doesn't make sense in my mind that we have to believe in a God who can judge himself. Well, remember what we know of God. He can never sin. He is a holy God. He never has had sinful flesh. And that's what our brains are hard to wrap around. Well, we want to make God more like us. No, we need to be more like God. Psalm 51, you've probably heard many times. Do you remember the circumstances that are recorded for Psalm 51? After David messed up big time, adultery, murder. This is David's confession. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You could probably quote more of it. But Psalm 51 is a really good reminder when we mess up. How about if we get David's thinking along those lines? I'd like to spend another couple moments in Psalm 52. It mentions that God allows wicked men to seemingly triumph, but it is the righteous that will have victory with God. Psalm 52, especially in verse 6. The righteous shall see also and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. God's name is good. Good reminder there. Psalm 53 talks about a wicked person does not fear God. And it also mentions in it that God despises the wicked. I would not like to be on that side of God's judgment. Psalm 54, cry for God to strengthen, help, and deliver us out of our trouble. And verse 7 is exactly a verse that says that. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble. Even the ones we get in on purpose? Well, if we respond correctly in humility and repent, then especially God will accomplish those things. Psalm 55, we expect trouble from wicked enemies. Do you agree? We should expect trouble from wicked enemies. What wicked enemies are you aware of today? Satan, number one enemy of God. He rebelled against God, got one third of the angels to follow him, so that makes them also our enemies. How many multitudes of evil angels are there? They sure do impact a lot of people's lives. Any other enemies we are told in Scripture to have? The world and the flesh. The devil, the world, and the flesh. Hey, those were the same enemies Jesus defeated when he was tempted after 40 days of fasting. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He was fighting Satan. And Satan knew parts of the Scripture, didn't he? Because that's what he tempted Jesus with. Doesn't the scripture say? Yes, but Jesus answered, that's not all the story. That's only part of the story that you're trying to use to deceive me. Don't let just a part of God's word deceive you. I can show you a verse that it's okay to be fat. We're going to get to it later on because I've already studied that psalm. There's a verse that says, if you're a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Slice your throat if you like to eat too much. I haven't agreed to that one. Use it wisely. I think it is good to be careful about that, and I wish I'd done it my whole life. But I have been overweight almost my whole life. Let's move on to Psalm 59. Or did I skip 58? 59. David requests that his enemies be destroyed and judged. But at least he does mention God's mercy. Verse 16, but I will sing of the power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. So, does that sound like a different picture of how he pleaded for his enemies to be destroyed in earlier psalms? The earlier psalms, he'd cry out to God to have his enemies defeated. But he never mentioned mercy. Now in Psalm 59, he does mention, but have mercy on my enemies. That's where our heart should be. Psalm 60. Israel again seems to be in great trouble from her enemies. And David is pleading for God's help. Verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. And don't even rely on yourself, because we are men and women. Psalm 61. I think David was reflecting on many of his past victories. And he praises God for the victory, the deliverance. And I wrote verse 4 to think about. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. That phrase has come up quite a bit in the hymns we've sung. And it's a good thing to remember. Get under God's wings of protection. Psalm 62. David notices how wicked the deceitful are. He encourages them to trust in God. God alone has the power to judge. So I think these are not directed so much to his enemies, but probably to his fellow Israeli citizens. Because it doesn't mention being enemies. It just says those that are deceitful. There are Christians that are not always honest and truthful too. Some in our own families. But cry out for God's mercy. Psalm 63, David admits a desire to love and serve God. With his whole heart, in fact. He requests his enemies to be avenged. And that David throws in a lot of his psalms. Yes, Lord, all these good things. Don't forget to take care of my enemies. That's the commercial. But, verse 11, that power belongeth unto God, is at the end of verse 11. Psalm 63, David, I just did 63. So I want to read verse 8 now. I was up at Psalm 62, sorry. I'll try to keep my fingers in the right place. Verse 8 reveals that his confidence is in God because he says, My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Psalm 64, David describes plans of the wicked with specific motives. So I'd like to read the first six verses, and then I'll leave you with verse 9. Psalm 59, starting in verse 1. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgressions, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. So he's describing the enemies. Again, I don't think these were external enemies. Who was the first person to show that he really was upset with David? King Saul. But he was part of King Saul's in-law group, married one of Saul's daughters as a reward for what? Victory over Goliath, the king promised. And how old was David when he won the victory with Goliath? Young teenager, 13, 14, 15, 16. He was a teenager. He was not thinking of getting married. But the king promised, if you defeat Goliath, right? So that was maybe 15 or 20 years or so later. He could have married Saul's daughter, Michal. And yet Saul hated him with a vengeance. Just thinking. It probably isn't the external enemies. It's those that can be close to us. And just keep your confidence in God. Doesn't matter where the enemy is. Verse 9, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. So that's a really encouraging portion of a verse. Psalm 65. David explains that Zion has God's provision. But it is true for all righteous Christians as well. Are we trusting God to provide for us? God created and cares for all the earth. I wrote down verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. That's kind of a prophetic portion too. Is there a time on this planet Earth that all flesh will glorify God? Linda's nodding yes. When? It isn't happening now for sure. Jesus says he's going to come back and rule and reign. For how long? 1,000 years. Where will we be when everyone is worshiping God? Where will we be? Scripture teaches that we're going to be leaving heaven. We're coming back with Jesus to do what? Rule and reign with him. Have you picked out your city you want to be the mayor of? Or the state you want to be the governor of? Or can you imagine if there were only sinless people making the laws? We wouldn't have enough sinful flesh anymore coming back from heaven. And we'll be making laws for the people to follow God. Sounds pretty good. But no, I'm not going to pick my location. Arizona wouldn't be too bad, though. Winter times. Love it. Oh, I took a detour. Psalm 66. The author expresses having continual praise for God, who has greatness and power and regulates all events, both the good and the bad. It's not that God makes the bad things happen. He didn't do that for Job, right? He didn't cause all of Job's trouble. But he did give Satan permission. Okay, yeah, go do that to Job. He still will love me. I know. Verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that... Come and hear. I better read it from the verse. 66, 16, because I think there's a typo here I didn't catch. Come and hear, all ye that fear the Lord, fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Okay. Fear God. Psalm 67. God's mercy and blessings will extend to all who fear him. Verse 7 says, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And again, this will be true during the millennial reign. So I think there's a prophetic portion to that. Psalm 68, God seems to claim, David seems to claim God's providence, especially with Israel's history, and it lists a number of different events in Israel's history. And it emphasizes thanksgiving to God. Psalm 69, if you'll turn there. David pleads for God's deliverance from a multitude of troubles. His request is to see God's revenge on those who are in opposition to him. And they also oppose God. Verse 32 says, I'll start reading there. The humble shall see this. Now, the this is talking about all the events in Israel's history. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. And I believe that prophecy is fulfilled. Israel has been living there since, I think, 1948. 47. Longer than I've been alive. Psalm 70. David makes an urgent plea for God's help, but he still knows God deserves praise, even though he felt overwhelmed, maybe. Verse 4 has a phrase, let God be magnified. And once again, that's a recurring theme. Psalm 71 considers David's enemies, the ones David faced. It mentions some of the internal struggles that he has with the Holy Spirit. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did not live in David's life like he does in Christians. God promised when we get salvation, he lets the Holy Spirit dwell in us, helps us along our choices. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would either be on them if they were pure, and he would leave them if they messed up. So I think that's why David so often requested, Lord, I need you back. Sorry, I need you back. But that's a good attitude for us to have. We need to be consistent with walking with the Lord. Because New Testament says Christians can be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit means you're never going to do something wrong. But our sinful flesh sometimes still gets the victory. And I believe some of the Holy Spirit departs. We can't stay filled all the way to the brim. And I think that's how we walk. The more righteous we are, the more filled we are. Psalm, and that should be a really good goal for us. Verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. That was David's goal. Teach the children of the next generation. Next generation. Book 2 ends with Psalm 72. And here, Psalm 72 is a psalm of Solomon. We know Solomon asked God for what when he took over as king? Wisdom. And is that all God gave him, was just smarts and choosing wisely? No. Because he chose the best quality, God said, I'm going to make you very wealthy. I'm going to make you so that none of your foreign enemies ever attack you. Well, David had done a good job of defeating them. But God had to keep them away. And he ruled for 40 years. Not all of Solomon's life turned out good. He did turn his heart from God in his latter years. And that's where we get wisdom from Ecclesiastes. And Solomon is almost totally depressed all the time. But he gives a lot of instruction that we can follow. So the end of book 2. And instead of finishing week 1, we're finishing week 2. Find something from the Psalms that you can cling on to. I think I finally have a new partial life verse for at least 30-some of the years that I've been saved and serving the Lord. I've claimed Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That has been what I would say is still my life verse. But in studying Psalms, I found one that is really good for this year for me with some of the struggles I've had. So I'm going to claim it for as long as the Holy Spirit helps it to be important to me, which may turn into a life verse also. But find something for what I've mentioned that the Holy Spirit just said, think of that a while. Meditate on it. Make it a part of your life. There's so many good things. And if you read the entire Psalms, you'll find out there's so many bad things that you can also, maybe that will help you too.